support the Mandarin and the Cantonese congregations. Now, is the slide coming up? Okay, yeah. It's quite typical for me every Sunday now that I attend three different worship services. First, of course, the early morning Cantonese service that starts at 8:30. While still probably you're still in bed or something, we have a Cantonese service started more than a year ago. We worship at the Connections, the place where you go for your coffee later on. So that's the first service I usually go and attend. And then in the middle of the, closer to the end, I would say a middle of the Mandarin service at around 9:30 or 9:40, I'll sneak in at the back to sanctuary where the Mandarin worship is usually going on. So when I sneak in here for the Mandarin service, usually I'll do greeting and announcement, and then they always wanted me to do the benediction. I don't know why. It seems like my benediction is more effective or something. So if I don't preach, I just come to the Mandarin service and say hi and give benediction. But this morning, I was preaching at the Mandarin a while ago. So this is my second service of the day. And then after this service, I'll go to the third service of my day, which is the late Cantonese service that starts at 11:30. With limited space here in Westwood, it's really tough to accommodate more than 700 people coming in and out of the door every Sunday. I know it's not easy to move people around, even though we are here for worship. But we really surrounded with that so many people. Particularly, I want to commend you of your patience and tolerance because of your love for God, because you really come to worship the Lord. So when you come in, wave of Chinese people coming out at you while you're waiting outside. This is a little exaggeration, you know. And then when you finish your worship, you go out the door, even more Chinese waiting at the door for you, right? And usually these people give you the look that seems to suggest that, hey, why aren't you go away faster, you know? Some people think pastors don't watch TV, you're wrong. Big Bang Theory. I started watching sitcoms like Full House many years ago. And then Everybody Loves Raymond, right? Yeah. And then Friends. I even watched the Will and Grace, you know. I watch a lot of sitcoms, you know. But as I always say, even you got this look every time you go out, they really didn't mean it. You know, they're not saying that, hey, come on, it's our time now. But I apologize for them if you feel that way. But as I always say, your service is sandwiched between two Chinese services. If you take the word sandwiched literally, that means you guys are the meat of the sandwich. So they are only the bread. You can imagine a ham sandwich without the ham, you know. So you guys are the real deal. Okay, I think I've said enough. Let's come back to today's sermon. Today's sermon is taken from the scripture of John 17. I want to read with you together this passage, just several verses. Why don't we all stand? And let's read together, okay? 1, 2, 3. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through your message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father God, we commit this time again to you. Speak to us as a church. Speak to us individually. Touch our hearts. We worship you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, on the last night before Jesus went to the cross, he began to do what he does eternally now. A few hours before his arrest, Jesus interceded for his own disciples. This is the last section of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. And we just read the couple of verses there. It was about one thing and one thing alone. He prayed for believers' unity, so that the unity of Christians would make such an impact that the world would believe the Father has sent Jesus the Son. Simply put, that the world would believe the gospel, the plan of salvation. I want to share with you this message about the what Jesus means by unity, and then I'll share about the whys, and then finally about the hows. First of all, what unity is Jesus talking about? Now, as I just mentioned a little while ago, this moment when Jesus was praying, it was the last moment before he went to the cross. What could Jesus have prayed for in the final moments before his arrest? He might have prayed for his own strength, that the 11 would support him, that they would not flee from him and his teachings. Instead, his prayer was dominated by a single thought: the unity of the disciples. By that you can tell how important this unity meant to Jesus. Jesus knew that the church could never make the impact in the world that he wished it to make unless the world out there saw in that church a oneness, a unity. Sometimes I feel the churches of our world have never taken these words of Jesus with the seriousness they deserve. If you read back a little bit, in verse 11, Jesus prayed, "Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus prayed for the unity of that original disciple group. This was no easy task in itself, and Jesus knew it. In that original group of disciples, there were incredible tensions. Tensions created by James and John when not too long before that they had asked for the seat at the right and the left hand of Jesus in heaven, which of course caused an outrage of jealousy among the other disciples. So it's not just James and John's problem is the whole group of disciples. They were outraged. It should be me, not you. There is a Chinese saying, 正人出口，笨人出手. So for those Cantonese people who know what I'm saying here, the dumb people speaks, only the wise people keep silence, something like that. Okay. It was John and James, they were the dumb people, even to ask Jesus about that. How about we sit at the right and the left hand? The other disciples were watching silently, thinking, oh my goodness, these are lousy people. Earlier on this same evening, actually, the disciples were fuming with rage because there had been an argument among themselves as to who was the greatest. Jesus was fully aware of that. Still, Jesus prayed for these 11. Of course, it's 11 because the one who betrayed Jesus left the room already. And Jesus was praying, Lord, make them to be one. That wasn't all, though. He moved beyond the 11 and prayed for the generations to come. In verse 20 and 21, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. That all of them includes you and me. We need to note here that Jesus prayed for God to grant us unity as a request. That means unity is given, is not achieved from us. It is indeed received, or Jesus wouldn't have urged disciples to be one. Rather, he looked to the Father and said, grant to them the gift of unity. The unity of God's people can never be invented or fabricated by men, by you and me. It must be generated by the Spirit of God. It can never be organized by the church. It must be vitalized by the Spirit of God. Simply because the pattern for the unity of believers is unlike anything else on earth. It's like the unity between the Son and the Father. So it is not merely a unity of organization, of mission statement, of bylaws and constitution. Do you agree? If you agree, we are united. Not even about feelings or affections. Sometimes I feel we spend quite a lot of time using a lot of human engineering to produce harmony and unity. We send people to learn skills like team building. We do a lot of team building among our staffs also. And then we learn how to communicate well, and then we send people to learn about effective communication. It's not that we don't communicate. It's a lot of time we don't have effective communications. So we learn skills to learn effective communications. Okay, when conflicts arise, what do? We learn conflict management, right? We have all these communication skills, we have all these conflict management skills and techniques, and we have all these handbooks and policy. These are good, don't get me wrong. These are not wrong things, these are good things, but I can tell you, these things don't guarantee unity. Just as the Father is in the Son and the Son in the Father, our unity has to be so related here in the church. The unity that Jesus is talking about here is something beyond our human capacity, beyond our human nature. It's heavenly. It's much more than this team building, conflict management, policy, and constitutions. We are drawn together. We are united together, not because we are nice people and we like each other. On the contrary, quite often, we don't like each other. We are so culturally diverse. We eat differently, even tonight's meeting, dinner, saying farewell and thank you to Pastor Joe. We juggled between ordering. It's a potluck thing, okay? You bring a dish to share with Pastor Joe. Be reminded, no strawberries or any berries there, because Pastor Joe is allergic to any berries. So, okay, you bring a dish. But we also, the church, prepare something. And then amongst our pastor, we talked about what does the church should prepare. So the Chinese side would say a barbecue piglet, you know, the big one, you know, we order one. This is how the Chinese like the pig with the head, you know, and the tail, and then we cut it and celebrate it, you know. And then the English guy say, no, order pizza. We love pizza, you know. Okay. We eat differently. We speak differently. We sing differently. We step on each other's toes all the time. But we want to be and we will be united because we are drawn to a common center. That's Jesus Christ himself. Jesus prayed that they would be in us, for that is the source of the power of that unity, and make that unity possible. It is also along this understanding that we know the unity we pursue that Jesus talked about is unity in the truth. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, he says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Everything is to accord with Jesus. I would also say, we will not pursue unity with anyone or anything that is un-Christ, untruth. But anything or anyone that is Christ, that is truth, we should do our utmost to pursue unity. Why? From Jesus' prayer, we know that there are at least two reasons why Jesus prayed for unity. First, of course, it is the witness to the world. And second, it is about glorifying the Lord. Only the obvious, visible unity of believers will convince the world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only the sight, seeing these united disciples, will convince the world of truth, of the truth that Jesus' message and mission is all about. So John 13:35, Jesus says, after the Last Supper, I give you a new commandment, to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Not about what you say, not about what you do. It's about how you loving one another. By that, they will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We are living in a divided world, of course. People are divided by philosophies of life, by different ideologies, by social and economic differences, by gender inequalities. People are divided by political persuasions. Are you Trump or you what, you know, and even by religious affiliations. The world is thirst to see genuine unity among humanity. That kind of unity offers forgiveness, offers reconciliation. That kind of unity offers redemption. And then that kind of unity can invite people to dwell in love and peace despite the differences. This is exactly what Christ's church can offer to the world today. You can imagine in a church like us, people highly educated with all the PhDs can sit together on a pew with someone beside with no education or little education, and then sing and worship together. People are CEOs of big companies and just a cashier of TNT. Oh, they rhyme so well, huh? CEOs of big companies and a cashier at TNT, they can sit together and share together and worship and sing together and serve together at fellowships and small groups. People are divided by even the color of the skin. By where they're coming from, by their socioeconomic situation, what kind of cars you drive, or you don't have a car to drive. Here in Westwood, we are united. No matter where you're coming from, what kind of situations you're from, you are welcome here. Some people believe that if we could just get our theology united, we would compel the world to believe. But united theology was never promised to compel the world to believe. Human elegance will not compel the world to believe. The size of our churches will never compel the world to believe. No denomination affiliations or programs or slogans or goal will compel the world to believe. Only one single thing will compel the world to believe. That is a supernatural oneness that can only be found in the family of God, in church. The truly unified community of people of God is just simply a supernatural reality that must have a supernatural cause behind it. The world is so disunited that a unified church compels the world to confess that God is at work in here. The flip side of it, of course, a disunified church reverses all the work of Christ and renders our witness to him powerless and without effect. Who would want to come to a church where they are divided, people argue against each other, people don't like each other, people don't want to join small group of fellowship? Who would want to come to a church like that? The other thing about why it's very obvious here in this passage, because the ultimate aim of Christian unity is not to your satisfaction and your enjoyment. It's about the glory of God. That's why Paul prays in Romans 15, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. When God's people are living in harmony and unity, God is glorified. Period. I couldn't agree more when I came across the illustration comparing chandelier to the unity and God's glory. So I want to show you this. You might have one big, beautiful crystal chandelier at your home. I came across the news that they spend thousands of dollars putting up a chandelier under the bridge of Granville. You heard about this? Yeah, they should spend the money for the poor, right? But that was art. Who am I? I don't know art, you know, so. Well, the illustration goes like this, and I quote, "It is as if every one of us in the church were a piece of crystal in a beautiful chandelier that God is making. And up the top, that chandelier is the light, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The light, one light, united light, shine love toward the other. And every one of us catches a little fragment of that light. And every one of us reflects it back and breaks it up, reflecting it to one another until the world looks at us. It sees shimmering there the unexplainable beauty and glory of the unity and love of God in this church." Unquote. Beautiful, huh? You and I, we are all a little piece of crystal up on that chandelier. And that chandelier called Westwood. How? If you come to my office, you know that I posted a sign in my office saying, I don't know if I have this. Yeah, I have this slide here. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Okay? If you still remember the seven habits of highly effective people, you probably remember this one, okay? It's from Stephen Covey. I'm not a fan of Stephen Covey, but I often find that some of his writing has that kind of religious theme, you know. This is actually from the Bible. He just stole it, I don't know, but they put it nicely, right? And the main thing is to keep the main thing, okay? It reminds me every time I come to my office. To me as a pastor, the main thing is about prayer and the word. So if I come to the office, if I work as a pastor, if I don't pray, I forgot to pray, I pray less. If I don't read the word, if I don't, you know, dive into the word of God, I do not deserve to be called as a pastor. So it reminds me of who am I as a pastor when I come to the office. To me as a pastor, it's about prayer, it's about the word, the ministry of the word. When we talk about unity, the main thing here about unity is keeping the triune God in the center. That's the main thing. That's the sign there. The unity in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is the reason our unity is possible. Sometimes, a lot of the times, we don't agree with each other. We have different opinions. But I always like this photo. It's okay if I don't agree with you or you don't agree with me. That's okay as long as we both agree with Jesus. Amen? Right? There are so many things that could divide us, but there is only one thing that unites us, is Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. The one main thing about unity is also the definitive thing about church, is how we connected with Jesus. Instead of dwelling on our differences or what divide us, why don't we turn our eyes to what unite us? Why would we make a big deal about what kind of songs we sing or what kind of color of carpet or how we should sing in the service? Hill songs or old song, I don't care, right? The only thing that really matters is if Jesus is being worshipped and glorified. It's all about delighting him rather than about delighting me or you. If we are a church so always sensitive and concerning about making you happy in the church, we are doomed. Our sensitivity and our concern is always about how to delight Jesus, how to make him happy and satisfied. May we be reminded again of this wisdom saying, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity or love. How? Someone says unity equals to humility. The secret of Jesus' prayer for unity is his humility. At the Last Supper, Jesus took the place of a house slave to wash the disciples' feet, and then he said, "Now that I, your Lord, teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." And then after that, he gave the new commandment, so to speak. "The new commandment I give to you, love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So before that command, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And when Jesus talked about unity in his prayer, when he was praying about Father and Son, repeat again and again, "You're in me, I in you." How do they relate to each other? Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus humbled himself and became a man. I believe the first step in submitting to one another in love, when we talk about unity, it's to admit that we are too broken and we are too flawed. We are lost, but now found. And we are trusting Jesus just for another day. Sometimes I feel funny about Christians. It's easy to humble before Jesus. Right? Well, he's Jesus. Oh, come on. Bow before Jesus. But it's another thing to humble before one another. You remember when Jesus washed Peter's feet? You remember what Peter responded? No. You are the teacher. You are Lord. Right? It's easy to humble before Jesus. But you can imagine when Peter looked at John. Who are you? They don't look to each other eye to eye. Mandarin saying, 你是老几啊? I don't know how to translate into English. They were fighting among each other who's sitting beside Jesus. They were fighting. Nobody wants to watch anybody's feet. That's the lowest house slave. What they do? Nobody wants to do it. But again and again, I can see it's really amazing how conflict can be diffused by authentic and vulnerable humility, genuine humble before one another. I have seen it over and over when someone is willing to go beyond saying, I'm sorry, to saying, I was wrong. Sometimes some people would say, it's hard to utter the word, I am sorry. But there are even harder words to utter from our mouth is, I was wrong, you know? It's easy to offer, I'm sorry. You can be sorry for anything, everything, right? But you really admit to another person saying, I'm sorry, forgive me, I was wrong. I did not treat you with love and respect you deserve. Forgive me, brother. Forgive me, sister. Forgive me, pastor. If we start with our own brokenness, if we are willing to humble ourselves, we will invite healing moments and create space for people to share theirs as well. After all, we are all sinners. If we keep our focus on the triune God, and we are willing to humble ourselves, not only before God, but also before one another, we'll find unity despite our diversity and differences. And the world will also believe, and God will receive all the glory. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a closing prayer. Unite our hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord, build your church. We want to pray Jesus' prayer. We want to fulfill Jesus' prayer by living out this complete unity on earth as it is in heaven. We want the world to receive your gospel, and we want the world to see your glory. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand. Thank you, Pastor Paul, for a message in unity. And as Pastor Paul said, unity is in the Spirit and in the Lord. But it is also a choice that we, each of us, have to make. Do we want to make that effort to be united in the church? Do we want to work together? Do we want to walk together to lift each other up? I was reading this thing in the Facebook. It says, a strong man does not put people down, but a strong man lifts weak people up. So if you're strong, it's not for putting people down. So let's unite together, make that choice to this day. This is a really old song, way back before I was even a Christian, and I know a lot of you know that, although the younger ones just come along. They will know we are Christians, not by anything else, but by our love. Let's sing it together. We are one in the Spirit.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know. side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
All glory to God.
All praise to the Father, from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit, who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Receive God's benediction from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and following. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything, hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May His whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen. Please be seated. I just want to thank Pastor Paul for the message, and confess to him today that I will eat that pig if he eats the pizza. So we will make ham and pineapple pizza, though. All right. So today, if you have your bulletins in hand, just to remind you, we do have classes happening after the service, after our coffee time at 11:45. Our youth will be upstairs. Pastor Ray will be conducting a class upstairs for the youth, as well as we'll have a class for our adults related to understanding the Bible and its authority in our lives. So you'll want to join those two classes. So the adult class will be in the library area, and I believe the youth class will be upstairs in M78, right? Okay. Also, Pastor Joe will be having a celebration with all of us tonight at 5:30. So it is a potluck. Bring your food so you don't have to eat my pizza or Pastor Paul's pig. Whatever you want to bring, it is welcomed. So we'll share together in that. So be reminded, 5:30 to 8:30. This is a ticketed event. So you have to have had tickets, and I believe it's sold out. Is that correct, Pastor Paul? We don't have any more room. So if you haven't gotten tickets off our website, then please refrain from coming. But Pastor Joe is not leaving us. He's still here. He's going to be continuing on with us. He's just changing his role and way of ministry. So it is a farewell dinner, but not really a farewell dinner, so you can still talk to him. Also, you'll notice that we have our 24-hour prayer chain up in the foyer, so please do avail yourselves of that. This month has been a focus in prayer, and we want to emphasize that to you. So look at the different designations out there and way of signing up, 15-minute slots that you can sign up for. So please do sign up for one of those slots to pray for 15 minutes as we fulfill that 24-hour time slot from 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock from January 31st to February 1st. So please do join us as a church. All three congregations are doing this together. Also, our baptism and membership classes are beginning next week. So if you have not been baptized, we welcome you to baptism. That will be happening in the evening at 7 o'clock on the 26th. So if you'd like to know more about that, please talk to either Pastor Ray or myself. And those classes will be consecutive, so 26, and then the 4 weeks following will be baptism and then the membership classes. Also, you'll note that Mission Fest is here at the end of the month as well. And the joint Canada and USCNMA Envision Summit, number 8 there in your bulletins, is an important opportunity for us to send some leaders down to New York, New York. You haven't seen the Big Apple. I've never been to New York, but if you are interested, we're more than happy to look at sending some people down to this summit, and you can get some more information online in regards to that. And please do let us know before next Sunday regarding your interest in joining us for that opportunity in that summit in May. So may God bless you as you go into your week. Thank you for joining us here at Westwood Alliance Church. And continue as we seek in God in prayer and in unity. Amen. Blessings on you.